So I'm incredibly excited about this morning, and again, it's such a privilege to be able to share God's word with you all, and it's awesome that the Georges are able to go spend time and take rest in the Lord as they see their son Benaiah off to college. So that is pretty sweet. Actually, it's sweet with an S-H. It's not sweet, sweet. So about a month ago, I spoke on 1 Thessalonians. We were looking at the Thessalonians' faith. Today, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians again, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. And today, we're going to be looking at their love. So I'm going to give just a brief recap, a couple minutes of the last sermon, and then we'll dig right in. So, Paul, man of God, wrote half of the New Testament. Acts chapter 16, God tells Paul to go to Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, Paul is obedient. He goes to Thessalonica and he brings the message of Jesus Christ to the Thessalonians. Some of them receive it. They receive it well. Some of them not so well. The ones who actually don't receive it, they start to persecute the Thessalonians who did receive it. And then it's believed that Paul was only able to stay with them for a few short months. And so he gets separated from the Thessalonians. He leaves Thessalonica. And then essentially what you have here is a new church. They're new to the faith. They don't know a whole lot. Paul, the guy who shared this good news with them, who's been sharing his life with them and spending time with them, leaves. He's gone. And now they're getting heavily persecuted by their own people, no less. And so we talked about how, given the circumstances, this new church shouldn't have survived. But they did. And not only did they survive, they thrived. Why? Because they had faith in Jesus Christ. They had faith in the word of God, that it was the actual word of God. And they let it work in them. They surrendered to it. They believed into it. And as a result, God moved powerfully, and it enabled them to persevere. So we talked about how they were killing it. They went ham, right? And everyone got my ham joke? They went ham. They were doing so well. But I didn't want to paint this picture that the Thessalonians were this perfect, superhuman people who had everything down, because they had their struggles. They absolutely had their struggles. Paul has to address some issues in the letter about sexual immorality and laziness. So they had their struggles. We all have our struggles. We have things we can be working on. But when it came to love, this one they got right. We need to get this one right. I have to get this one right. If you remember, Paul said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't even need to address you right about love, because everyone around you knows you for your love. If anyone knows anything about the Thessalonians, it's that they're people of love. And it helped them survive. If we're not known for our love, if we're not people of love, when our faith is tested, when trials come, we're not going to be able to make it through it. And so we saw in chapter 1, verse 3, last time we looked at the Thessalonians' faith, we looked at their work produced by faith. Today, we're going to be looking at their labor prompted by love. What does the labor look like? What does that love look like? But first, I want to introduce to you someone who I really love. Make sure the oohs and ahs are not so loud. We don't want to scare her, okay? Ready? Ooh. This is girl. I call her girl. I don't know why. We all have nicknames for our children. Her name's Hannah. She's my daughter. She's not some random child. So you can see where I'm going with this already, but the thing I want us to focus on this morning is not so much that she's my daughter or that I'm her father. The thing I want us to focus on this morning is that she's my family. She's my blood. I care about her deeply. I care about her fiercely. I would do anything for her. We all have people in our lives who we consider our family. We have brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunties, uncles, cousins. People who we love and care for deeply and fiercely, who we would sacrifice anything for. We would give them the clothes off our back, although I don't think my shirt would fit her very well, but that's not the point. You get what I'm saying? We would do anything for them. Time, sleep, money, whatever, we would sacrifice. And we enjoy spending time with them. We want to be in their presence because they're our family and we love them. And when we're separated from them, we can't wait to get back in their presence. And so this is the dynamic that we see in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says that he cared for the Thessalonians like a nursing mother cares for her child. Paul says that he cared for them the way a father cares for his child, in the way that a father comforts and encourages and urges. He even describes their separation as being orphaned. We see in chapter 2, verse 17, Paul says, "We remember before our God," that's not chapter 2, verse 17. "But brothers and sisters," that's the one. This is all script. I'm just reading off a paper. "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." Why would Paul say orphaned? Paul is saying that it was like, or it felt like, a child being stripped away from their parent. See, child stripped away, visual. It was like family being separated. This is an intense family-like relationship Paul is describing here. And it's so beautiful because he says, sure, we were separated in person, but not in thought. He constantly thinks about them and he's longing for them. He tries every possible thing he can do to get back and see them because he's longing for them. That's how he feels when he's separated. Some of us, we have family members who are in the military or out in college or they live in another state. We only get to see them maybe once a year and we long for them. It's that feeling we get. And it doesn't matter if it's a year or 8 hours. When I'm at work, I can't wait to get back home and spend time with my family. I have people in my life who I spend time with regularly, and I can't wait to get back in their presence. This is what Paul's describing here. This longing, this intense family, intimate-like relationship. And the Thessalonians, they respond in the same way. The feeling is mutual. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories." There it is again. They're thinking of each other. "And that you long to see us just as we also long to see you." So you can start to see now this dynamic. They're loving each other like family. They're caring for each other like family. They're longing for each other. And so the big question today is, do we long for each other like that? Do we long for each other like family? Now, I don't want to speak for everyone in here. I know for myself, for the most part, I think the answer is no. I think for a lot of us, the answer might be no. And I'm not saying shame on you, shame on me. We don't long for each other because I don't think it's necessarily intentional. I just think a lot of us don't know each other yet, right? So half of you, I don't even know your names yet. So it's kind of hard to long for someone when you don't have a relationship with them, when you don't know them. So some of our relationships, even the extent of our relationships, look like this. Morning, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. Well, that's good. Good. Have a nice weekend, right? So the thing is, if that's the extent of our relationship, if that's all it ever looks like, if that's as far as we ever take it, every Sunday, that's it. If that's what it looks like, how is that going to produce longing? How's that going to produce love? It's not. So how do we get to a place where we're longing for each other? The answer is simple. Spend time together. We see this in the text. And so we're going to look at their labor. This is the part we're going to look at their labor. They spent time together. There's a social experiment that I saw on YouTube. Some of you might have saw it. Where they basically, and a bunch of different people have done it, they basically take some people, different nationalities, different cultures, some of them don't speak the same language, they've never met each other before, and they sit them 4 feet apart, and they have to make eye contact for 4 minutes. Weird, right? And so it's funny because, you know, looking into someone's eyes like that is kind of intimate, and it's a little weird. So at first, there's some laughs and smiles because 4 minutes, it's hard to look into someone's eyes. But the thing I found interesting was that by the end of it, people were like hugging each other. Some of the people were crying. Some of the people were showing them pictures of their kids on their phone. Some of them were like setting dates. Let's hang out, spend time together. Because what it did was it birthed inside them a desire to want to know each other. It produced longing, just spending time together. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Thessalonians spent time together. And they were doing more than just giving each other googly eyes. They spent time together. You know what they were doing? They were sharing their lives with each other, and they were doing the work of God. We have two more verses we're going to look at, what that looks like. Chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "So we cared for you because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Number one, he shared the gospel with them because he loved them. Yes, out of obedience, but he shared the gospel because he loved them. Number two, he didn't just share the gospel with them. It wasn't like he went to Thessalonica. It was like, you know, believe in Jesus, he's the Son of God, I hope you get saved, and then bounced. That's not what happened. He spent significant time with them, sharing his life with them, working among them, teaching them the word of God. And then we see the Thessalonians. This is the last verse we'll end on, chapter 1, verse 8. They respond by imitating him, by sharing the gospel with the world. It says, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." So they literally, the word of God, it wasn't even in the surrounding towns of Thessalonica. It literally sprang out everywhere. They spent time together sharing the gospel. That's what they were spending time doing. And it's so awesome because just like love, right? Paul said, "I don't even need to address you about love because everyone around you knows you for your love. If anyone knows anything about the Thessalonians, it's that they're people of love." He says, I don't need to talk about your faith. Look, the word of God went everywhere. I don't need to address it. So the Thessalonians, they had their struggles. They weren't perfect. But when it came to love, when it came to spending time, sharing God's word, sharing the gospel with the world, they got that one right. And it absolutely held them together through that persecution they were facing, through the trials they were facing. It was love that bound them. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says that above all, clothe yourselves with love, and it'll bind you together in harmony. Have you ever heard the hymn, "Bind us together, Lord, with cords that can't be broken"? That's what was happening here. They were bound together. It made them stronger because they were a family. So without this love and this service, this serving along one another, I can't say with confidence that they would have survived. So one of the big things that I want us to realize this morning is that when our faith is tested, when we're going through trials, when we're going through difficulties, we have each other. That's the whole point. God designed it that way so that we would long for each other and care for one another and build each other up. And it's so awesome because it's not like a have-to thing. It's not that we should focus on it's a have-to thing, like you have to spend time together. I love a few weeks ago when Josh preached at the baptism service and said it's not a have-to thing, it's we get to. We get to share our faith about Jesus Christ. It's the same thing here. We get to spend time together. We get to long for another and be in this intimate family-like relationship where we're leaning on each other. Because God designed it that way. It's no different. Sometimes it's easy to have this, even if it's subconscious, sometimes it's easy to have this barrier where we think of our families at homes or our loved ones we care about as different than in the church, but it's not supposed to be any different. Jesus says in Matthew 12:50, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Are you saved by Jesus Christ? Are you a part of the body? Do you do the work of God? Do you serve the Lord? Are you saved? That's who your family is. That's what Jesus says. It's no different. So there's a purpose when we get together. I want to encourage you guys to reach out, but I want to point out that there's a purpose. It's not like we're just going to get together and hang out and that's it. I think about my coworkers, right? And if I went up to one of my coworkers who I don't know very well and we don't hang out outside of work and I was like, hey man, like, how about your family and my family? We get together, have dinner, hang out. He would probably look at me like I have two heads. He'd probably be like, that's a little weird, man. Awkward. I don't know you. We don't have a relationship. But when I ask someone in the church, it's different. Why can't I go up to someone in the church and say, hey, let's get together and have dinner? And they're like, yeah, man, sweet. Because that's the purpose. God designed it that way. That when we're getting together, we want to get to a place where we move past just small talk. But we want to get to a place where we're talking about things of the Lord, where we're encouraging each other, we're edifying each other, and we're caring for one another, and we're doing the work of God together. So, as we leave here today, I want us to leave asking this question. Where do we start? Because this is the main point, okay? Catch the vision. This is the point. The Thessalonians were bound by love. That's what held them together. They were people of love. They loved each other like a family, and it held them together when their faith was tested. They shouldn't have survived what they went through. It was love. So we need the fellowship. There was a time my wife and I, we left our previous church, and we weren't in church for 2 years. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but what happened was we stopped hanging out. We weren't spending a whole lot of time with a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ. We weren't going out in the community, sharing our faith. We weren't doing a lot of Bible studies. Even our own quiet time at home, reading God's word and in prayer, started to dwindle. And I think it was because of my pride that I wasn't willing to admit that a huge part of that was because of lack of fellowship. I was focusing on the have to. Because I remember there was a time where I was like, someone would say, we need fellowship. We need to spend time together. And I'd be like, yo, all I need is Jesus, Holy Spirit. The rest of the world was gone. Like, I would have everything I need to conquer my sin and get through whatever I needed to get through. And sure, there's an element of truth to that. But God designed this to look a certain type of way for a reason, so that we would lean on each other. So with that, we would care for one another. So the question is, where do we start? What does that look like? What does reaching out look like? What does spending time look like? What does doing the work of God look like? For the woman, reach out to another lady in the church. Say, hey, I know we've never met before. I don't even know your name yet, but let's get together and have coffee. It's not weird. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Some of us were a little shy. It's okay. I want to encourage you. Be brave. Be brave. Just walk up and let's get together. For the men, reach out to another brother. We see the relationship between David and Jonathan, and we know that there's no other bond between brothers. I mean, that's a special relationship. God created that. Reach out to another brother. Let's go get coffee. Let's talk. Let's hang out. Let's get to know each other. Let's be intentional about building relationships. For some of us, it's hard because we've been hurt before. We've been hurt by people before. Some of us have even been hurt by people who have claimed to know and love the Lord. And I'm sorry for that, because that never should have happened. But I want to encourage you, let us be the example. Let us be the people, when everyone looks at Quinnebog River Church, they go, man, those people are people of love. They care about each other. They take care of one another. They long for each other. Look at them over there. They got it right. Sure, we got our struggles. When it comes to love, we got that one right. Spend time together. Some of us, it's hard because we don't have the time, or maybe we don't manage our time well. So maybe our prayer needs to be, Heavenly Father, I don't manage my time well. I know there's a lot of things I should be doing that I'm not doing. And so point out everything in me that offends you. Help me to manage my time better. Some of us manage our time very well, but we just don't have it. We're all working. We all have busy lives. So say, Heavenly Father, I don't have the time. And I want to get involved. I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to do the work of your kingdom. But I'm just so busy. We have small group Bible studies that are always happening. So get involved in that. I mean, what better way to build a relationship with someone than to be in God's word together, studying God's word together? We have the Tough Buddy event happening. Get involved in that. Reach out, serve alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ in hopes that we have opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the rest of the world. We have the river fires. We have these opportunities. There's a reason we're here. So know where your barriers are. Know where to start. Know what it is that's holding you back, and know where to start. Know what that looks like, spending time, reaching out. Be brave, because God designed it to look a certain way, where we're longing for one another, where we're caring, we're building each other up, we're a family. Let us be the example. Let Quinnebog River Church be the example, because if we don't have love right, we're not gonna get anything else right. Love comes first. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We just want to praise you and thank you for the body of Christ, the way you designed it to look. Help us to be people of love. Help us to see what that looks like. Teach us to love each other the way you love us. Thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all these things in your Son's perfect name, Jesus Christ. Amen.